Amen.
I specifically asked Drew to lead all four verses of that song because it illustrates the point that I want to start with quite nicely. When we all get to heaven, Christians rightly anticipate this perfect and glorious unity when we get to heaven. And that reminds me of the beginning of another sentiment that I've heard. To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know, now that's a different story. You see, we've got this living above part down pat. Just sing a song about it. Love that song. But it's this idea of living below that I really want to talk to you about this morning. And I hope that you have your Bibles with you. And if you do, please turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. That's where we will be starting. But we're going to be dealing only with this text, and so it's going to be very helpful for you if you can follow along with me as we progress. But Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. And don't lose sight of this idea of living below with saints we know. The very first thing that we see in Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 27, is that our conduct ought to be worthy of the gospel. We start reading, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of your perdition or destruction, but to you a sign of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me." There are two words that I want to draw your attention to. The first word is gospel. Paul has been using this word gospel previously in the chapter, and so it's useful for us to kind of go back and see what Paul's doing with the word, and then try to understand better our text this morning. We notice first in chapter 1, verse 4, he says that the Philippians had fellowship with Paul in the gospel, this sharing, this participation. And then in chapter 7, he says that they were fellow partakers of the gospel. Further, that Paul had been set for the defense of the gospel. And then we continue reading down to verse 12, where Paul elevated the progress of the gospel above his own personal freedom. Pick up with me in verse 15. It says, "Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice." So Paul would rather have people actively trying to cause him greater affliction if it turns out for the furtherance of the gospel. Okay, second key word, conduct. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. So if we are going to profess the gospel as our collective priority, but then behave in a way which is contrary to the message that we're so insistent on preaching, then something's amiss. Realistically, if each person, no matter how different, no matter their backgrounds, their age, their education, their disagreements, if we are all moving in the same direction, then we will be unified. If we're all fighting for the same cause, then we won't be fighting one another. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. And how is it that Paul expects them to conduct themselves? We read it in the passage. He says, that I may hear that you stand fast in one spirit, in one mind. And then notice, striving together for the sake of the gospel. So here's the kicker. Here's what Paul adds. He says, don't be alarmed by your opponents who are persecuting you. You know, they're saying that all of this conducting yourselves worthy of the gospel thing, all of that there, that is a sign of your destruction. But Paul says, don't listen to that. Because this standing fast in one spirit, in one mind, and striving together, that's actually a sign of your salvation. Now, we were just introduced to the first occurrence of a word in Philippians. Salvation. And I want you to put a pin in that idea. Right there. Because we're going to come back to it. But we're not going to deal with it right now. You see, before we do that, we have to confirm in our mind what it was that was a sign of their salvation. And it's going to sound repetitive, and I'm going to say it again. But they were standing fast in one spirit. They were standing fast in one mind. And they were striving together for the sake of the gospel. That was the sign of their salvation. Further, they were suffering to this end, to which Paul says that it had been granted to them for Christ's sake, not only to believe, but also to suffer. So even though your Bible has a chapter break there, we all understand that these chapter breaks are not inspired. And so Paul is not breaking the train of thought here. In fact, the first word, therefore, indicates that Paul's not moving to something different, but is rather building on top of it. So he says, therefore, since you are going to suffer for the gospel, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look only not to your own interests, but also for the interests of others. So you'll remember that he's just concluded that they should suffer for the gospel. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ. Now, what is the obvious answer to this hypothetical if? Well, of course. Of course there is encouragement in Christ. He says, if there is any comfort of love. Of course. How many times have we been comforted by those who love us? If there is any fellowship in the Spirit, well, of course. Not only do we have fellowship in the Spirit, we have fellowship because of the Spirit. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Fellowship exists because of the Spirit. If there's any affection and compassion, of course. Shall we even attempt to enumerate the numbers of times when God has shown affection or compassion to us, his children? So these things being true, be of one mind. Remember that we were supposed to stand fast in one mind previously? Be intent on one purpose, strive together for the sake of the gospel, and with humility of mind, consider others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So can you see the thrust of what Paul has just said? Previously, he had appealed to their relationship to the gospel. You see, if they claim to be advancing the saving message of Christ, then they had better act like it. Strive together for the sake of the gospel. And now he appeals to this fourfold truth. And on the basis of these truths, he again appeals, watch it, to unity. But here we have the very crux of what Paul is saying. And that is others above self. Others above self. In humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. But Paul's not done. You see, in the next block of text, we are given an illustration of Jesus Christ. And we're fairly familiar with this text. It's an illustration. But the nice thing about inspired illustrations is that it will always illustrate the point of the author perfectly. So if we can figure out the point of the illustration, then we can figure out the point that Paul was making. Okay, it just kind of makes sense that way. So if we were to try to figure out the point of the illustration, I think we could summarize it in three words. Others above self. Amen. Read with me. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus humbled or emptied himself. He deserved respect and would rightly be respected by everyone, yet he did not demand respect. It's only by his authority that commands can rightly be issued, and yet he was obedient to the commands of others. If you haven't noticed, we live in a culture where people demand respect of their individual opinions. People will literally riot in the street if people disagree with them or if people disrespect them. Now, how shameful would it be if Christians demanded more respect than that of our master? But then, we're told why it is that Jesus did this. Verse 9, therefore, or so then, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You guys are going through Mark right now, right? The lower classmen. I'm sure you have been told what Lord means. Master. If Jesus is your master, then you submit to him. If you don't submit, then he's not your master. It's a fairly simple equation. So if I ask the question, is Jesus your Lord? And you answer yes, then by definition, you must be submitting to him. You must be doing what he says. In other words, Jesus submitted himself to us so that we would ultimately and completely submit ourselves to him. So then what has Jesus said? What commands are we to submit to? And don't think that we have to go to the book of Matthew to figure out what the commands of Jesus are. Paul's not going to make a point that can only be supported in Matthew. Everything is being laid out right here. What commands, what is it that Jesus has said that we are supposed to submit to? Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. How? By standing firm in one spirit, by standing firm in one mind. The first part of chapter 2, be of the same mind, maintain the same love for one another. Keep in mind that Paul is talking to Christians. He's not talking to the person out there in the world. These are people that you see every week. When you go out into your ministry, these will be the members of the congregation where you preach at. These are your fellow preachers, your fellow students at school. Maintain the same love for these people. Regard others as better than yourself. Have the same mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. These are the commands that Jesus has given. You see, even when no one was rightly above Christ, Christ submitted to everyone. And the only one with a just accusation was silent before his accusers. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. For everyone in this room who has confessed the name of Christ as their Lord, for everyone in the congregations where you will preach at who has confessed the name of Christ as their Lord, they are obligated to obey these things. It's not optional. It's not something to be left to another day. And why is that? Well, if you haven't noticed, we have been rapidly moving toward one of the better known passages in Philippians, and that is chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, or so then, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, connect that back to the last verse where he said, Christ is Lord. As you have always obeyed, not in my absence or my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do you remember the word I asked you to put a pin in? Salvation. Only occurs twice in the book, and we've read both. Do you remember what was it that was a sign of their salvation previously at the end of chapter 1? That they were to be standing firm in one mind, united in their spirit and striving together for the sake of the gospel. That was the sign of their salvation. So today, let me ask you, if we fail to manifest those signs, does it call our salvation into question? Absolutely, it does. In chapter 1, verse 27, Paul is calling for unity. And he calls it a sign of their salvation. In chapter 2, verse 2, Paul is calling for unity. In the next verse, we're told how to accomplish that. Others above self. And then to the application of this solution, we are commanded to emulate Christ. We haven't changed the train of thought here. Paul is still talking about unity in verse 12. Paul's still talking about placing others above yourself. He's still talking about the sign of your salvation. So then, therefore, my fellow students, therefore, the members of the congregations where you will preach at, therefore, work out your own salvation. How? Chapter 1, verse 27 through chapter 2, verse 11. Unity through humility is a salvation issue. I don't know how many of you have seen the TV show, The Lone Ranger. I've seen a couple of episodes, but I heard of one where Tonto and the Lone Ranger were riding on their horses through a canyon, and very suddenly it just filled with the Native Americans, and they were dressed in their war paint, and they were hollering for battle, riding around on their horses, and the Lone Ranger quickly turns to Tonto and says, "What are we going to do?" And Tonto turns around and says, "What do you mean, we, white man?" But we understand the importance of unity, even in trying circumstances. When everything would point toward division, be united. When anything other than the gospel is at stake,
be united. When the members of the congregations where you will preach at are arguing over what color carpet to put in the building, be united. When the world threatens to drive a wedge between us, be united. It's not something that is optional and it can't be put off. It's a sign of our salvation. So be united.